Thank you, Pastor Adrian, and we'll just take a few essential minutes to have a focus on God's Word, and then worship will be our response. If you have your New Testament copy of the Scripture, I'm referring just to a few places in James. It's kind of toward the end of the New Testament, and James. Last Sunday, I talked a little bit, didn't quite get finished, with this idea that we want to live our lives singularly focused on God. But so often, the great temptation is not to actually get to that point, but to live as double-minded believers. That's a pretty miserable existence. To live compromised in our spirituality. I've been reading the Old Testament through this year, and my heart has broken time and time again for God as He deals with His people, the people of Israel. Often you will find them double-minded. They are going through the motions of worshiping God, the one true God, but their loyalties are divided, and they continue to worship idols as well. And this is not just an Old Testament reality. This also can be very stark reality in our day, where we say we love the Lord and we give a lip service to it. Maybe we even make a sacrifice here or there in His name. But then we have this other element of our life that is very dark. It's not something that pleases God. It's not somewhere we would want to take Jesus. And so, as I've been studying the last few days, especially on this, during this season of revival, in James 1 and verse 8, it basically gives us this thought that if you are a double-minded person, you are unstable in all of your ways. There is no foundation to your life. It's a very critical thought that we would live double-minded rather than singularly focused on God. And then we come to James chapter 4, and in verse 8, we began to get at the cure for this idea of double-minded spirituality. It says in James 4, verse 8 from the NIV, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners." This is the idea that we come to Christ to have our sins, our acts of rebellion forgiven. "Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So the call of James 4 and verse 8 is not only that we would have forgiveness, have our hands washed of actions that displease God, but also that we would allow Him by faith to purify our hearts, to set our hearts at loyalty, and to take us away from compromise to where our whole being, our whole existence, is really singularly focused on the Lord. Now, as I was studying this, and we've been having revival, I felt like the Lord said, "Why don't you make this service today more of a laboratory? Give some words, give some instruction, give some invitation." And I wasn't sure if it would really work. But you just obey. You don't worry about if something's going to work. You just do what God says. And I was really humbled by how God and our people worked this idea in the first service. And I know He wants to do the same thing again, so I have a lot more confidence now that God really did speak to me. Here's the idea. It's like the Lord said, "Why don't you worship and just say to the people, come close to me, draw near to me, take a step toward me, lean toward me in your worship. Don't lean back, lean forward, and I will meet you there. And not only am I able to forgive you of your acts of rebellion and wash your hands and give you clean hands, but I can also come with my Holy Spirit and cleanse you and set your heart at loyalty and take you away from some form of compromised Christianity and give you a singular focus on me." Here are the words from the New Living Translation, James 4 and verse 8. "Come close to me And God says, I will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and this world. And so, God is a jealous God. He will not share worship. He deserves and He demands and He declares in His Word that we must come to Him in wholehearted worship, not allowing some habit to have control over our worship, not to allow other people or other things. This week, Jeff Bolander, who's part of our congregation here, he sent me an email. I love when people, you know, they send me something that has something to do with the week before. It's really cool. It kind of is like, wow, man, people are paying attention. And I want to end with this and then give you the invitation. It says this about James 4, verse 7 and 8. And listen to this translation and then the commentary. This is the invitation as well. So let God work His will in you. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. And here is the commentary. Double-mindedness really hurts our lives. We settle for just a little taste of God. The brother of Christ, James, tells us to dive in, to be wholehearted, to decide our loyalties. Dabbling destroys our courage and initiative to serve God. We often face things at work and outside work that draw us away from the Lord. We know what they are: ambition, ego, busyness, lust, etc., etc. But we can be decisive and choose this day to seek closeness with God, to stop dabbling, to correct our motives, and to totally commit to loyalty in serving Him each and every moment. And the prayer attached to this commentary is the prayer I offer to you to pray today. Lord, I choose wholeheartedness today. Please show me how to draw near to you. So I'm going to have the band come and prepare for worship. And I want everyone just to stand, if you would. Just stand. Now, of course, you're in charge of you. I don't get to say what you will do. And actually, it doesn't really matter to me how you respond because, you know, it's between you and God. But I know God said, because during the revival, if you were not here, you don't know. If you were here, you do know. We closed every service in response, worshiping God, and everybody came in the front of the church. It was like a mosh pit, you know, for Jesus. I didn't see any body surfing. I didn't see anybody going across like this. But there was this sense that we wanted to draw near to God, to His redemption, to His resurrection, to renewal of our lives. And today, I would offer to you the same. So as the band comes and they begin to lead in worship, you begin, as you please, to take a step toward God, to draw near to Him, to see if He draws near to you, to come close to Him, to see if He comes close to you. Now, you can be in your seat and draw near to God in your mind and in your heart. I just sense that God wanted me to give the invitation, and not an intimidation, that if today you just are okay with not caring what people think, because you love to have the double-minded cure, you love to make sure that your worship is singularly focused, and that when you leave here today, all idols have been put aside. And so I will leave the response to you. During this long package of worship, you can stand or sit or kneel. It's your choice. I just invite you, come close.
So in turn, to hear his children say back to him, "Father, I belong to you." I hope and I can imagine that it's just making our Father, our Heavenly Father, smile over us. We're just returning to him, you know, this glory that belongs to him and ourselves, a surrender, a moment of surrender. So will you sing these words again and just sing them to your Father, your Heavenly Father, and just surrender, declare. And I said earlier in first service that I heard Pastor Carey say something to me, or say something in a message almost 10 or 12 years ago. He said, the crucifix is the picture of the entirely sanctified heart. This heart that's totally surrendered to Jesus, and here it is, it's just wide open, nailed to a cross, and the arms can't go anywhere in it, but surrendered to the Father, here I am. So this morning, I just invite you, you don't have to do it. If it's uncomfortable, it's okay. But I just invite you in an act of surrender, just to open your arms up or lift your arms up and declare, "Father, I am yours," in a moment of surrender.
Oh, Abba, I belong to you.
We are yours.
Abba, I belong to you.
We are yours, Father.
Oh, Abba, I belong to you. Abba.
Celebrate it.
Power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty.
shines like the sun, all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan son and a daughter? The King of glory, the King above.
Father God, you are worthy of all our worship and all our praise. And we want you to be the focal point of our vision and the focus of our lives. So be God. Be our one and only God. Wash our hands in the blood of your Son. Forgive our rebellious acts and cleanse our hearts. Let your Holy Spirit bring purity to our motive. Let your Holy Spirit restore loyalty among us and in our hearts for you. Let your Holy Spirit blot out compromise I pray, Father, that we would come to know afresh and anew that you are not desiring to be part of our lives or even first place in our lives or even the center of our lives. You want to be my life, our lives. You want to be our everything. And so, Lord, I'm trusting you by faith that that has happened in your church today. And all the people said, amen. Be seated for a moment. We are glad all our Facebook Live people are worshiping with us. We believe that he's alive. And one day we will see him face to face. But this is pretty good for now. Until then, my heart will go on singing. The ushers are going to come today. And I brought Jason Tuggle and Delta Sun here by faith. By faith in God and faith in you. They came here probably unlike they go other places. No contract, no promise of really anything. They're here out of relationship. And they said, we're going to come and lead in worship. And I've had such joy sharing meals with them, having conversation. And my heart has drawn nearer to the Lord this week because I got to be with this worship band and they got to be with us in revival. God did some powerful things in our midst, not only today, but a lot of days this week. If you would like to give to the expense of the revival and help me to generously bless our workers, if you would write your check or give your cash or go to hfcngive.com and just mark it Summer Revival or Project Galilee, whatever you want to write on there, it's all the same. And we'll make sure that the blessings are passed onward, forward. And thank you for participating today. I believe that God, I don't believe he's impressed with our worship, but I believe he's delighted by it. And so I want I guess the theme song of the week is that Abba, I belong to you. So that's what the cure of double-mindedness does. It makes sure we know who it is we belong to at all times and all places, anywhere and everywhere. We are totally his. And so I pray that light will shine. So ushers, if you would go ahead and receive the offering. And the band is going to sing for the offering. Their offering. And you would probably want to stand, I'm sure. Sorry to mess the ushers up with that, but we're still worshiping.
We did this one a little earlier this morning with you, and I think we'll bring it back and close with it.
the God who comes to save. Is he to sin?
He set us free.
For who can stop the Lord? Oh my, our God is the Lion.
Something Jason said this week, I didn't get it as poetic as he said it, but it kind of hit my mind this way. The scripture says that the enemy roars around like a lion. Like a lion. But the scripture also says that our Lord is the lion. You know, there's a big difference between being like a lion and being the lion. I hope that will help you this week in your battles and in your burdens and also in your rejoicing and in your happy times. But to have this sense that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That yes, there is a lion, a seeming lion. He roars like a lion. Some of you will get this from years gone by. Max Lucado says that the enemy is an imposter. He's a 95-pound weakling dressed in a Charles Atlas suit. I like that. Now, if you don't know who Charles Atlas is, so he could be more, I could use a more modern name. I could have used the former governor of California, Arnold. Could say that the enemy is an imposter. He's a 98-pound weakling dressed in an Arnold Schwarzenegger suit. But the enemy is like a lion, but our Lord is the lion. And he's worthy to be worshipped. Today, if you want someone to pray with you, just stop outside the hallway here, just left of the cafe. The well is there. And someone will let us pray with you. Also today, if you're visiting with us in the alcove here at the back, we have a gift for you. And we're glad you are here today. And finally, Celebrate Recovery is our worship venue tomorrow evening. The meal is at 6 if you'd like to come, and 6:30 if you need some more victory in your life. Monday evenings at 6:30 would be a good place to pick it up. So we're glad that you're here. And I just want to pray this prayer, blessing over you as you go out into your world. Lord Jesus, help us to remember that we belong to you, and that means you belong to us. Be our strength, be our joy, be our everything. Amen. Go in peace.